So what we do is I run a full service marketing agency, and that's like my bread and butter. A lot of the clients I got was because I met them through Ty Lopez's network. I joined a lot of different masterminds also from like Tony Robbins, Les Brown back in the day. I did a lot of Eric Worre stuff, you know, part of the network marketing industry. So a lot of people that started businesses, and a lot of them now are like trying to be a coach, trying to be a course creator, consultant. And what we, to answer the question, like the main problems is like, obviously it's a sales and marketing problem.
This is another episode of the Automate Grow podcast. My guest today is RC Simon, and I've already forgotten. Is it Growth X? Is that what you're calling your business?
Legacy X State.
Legacy X. Oh my God. You know, one of my legacies is screwing up everyone's name and company on the podcast. So RC and I met through the AHN, Asian Hustlers Network, and as he's discovered, I am not Asian. But a lot of people I know that are, and I love that group because everyone is legitimately a hustler. So RC, first, thanks for jumping on and joining the podcast.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate it, man. And I think we did meet, or like that's how we reconnected, but I know we met at a Ty Lopez event. We were kind of talking a little bit about that. And a few years back at a live event, you said you were at like a few of the events down there, and that's when I was working for Ty, so... It's crazy how everything comes back full circle.
That's totally right. So I not to skip over that, because I did attend two events on his property, those were great events. I mean, packed with information. In particular, I think they were maybe both marketing related.
Yes.
I'd have to think about that. And so now you worked for Ty. Is that kind of one of your first gigs before you started your own thing?
Yeah. You know, I mean, back in 2013, I got into network marketing, and then I met some people couple years later that started working for Ty when he started his company, was hiring, and they're trying to get me on board. And 2016 is when I hopped on board with Ty.
Oh, cool. And what sort of work were you doing with him?
So I started off customer support. 8 months later, he launched his SMMA program, and we were talking how he crushed it in the tens of millions, you know, with that launch. And right. I got pretty much bumped up to the sales team. And then by the time you were going to those events, I was actually the manager of the sales team. So I was coordinating the events, helping the events, and also managing that whole sales department too at that time.
So, I mean, that's first of all, it's great progression. And you were there for what, you know, was a pretty big change, I think, not just in like his business, obviously, but it impacted a lot of people, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was, I could say that's when Ty was growing in his prime in the educational space. I mean, he's still pushing it now from what I see, you know, nowadays, but that was when it was at its prime. And that's what catapulted a lot of these course creators nowadays too, creating kind of stuff around that and businesses around that.
Mm-hmm. And even like, I think the one thing that we see is there's a lot of guys that went out there and started, you know, social media marketing agency businesses, trying to help local businesses to get clients. Is that pretty much what you've decided to do? Like, what are you working on?
Yeah. Yeah. I went a little bit the harder route. I can kind of like branch it out. I think local businesses, I think it's a lot easier. I think okay. Anyone can learn how to run ads for a local business, because the targeting isn't as complex. You know, you can only target such a small amount, and then you get to like e-com. I think e-com is like the next step, like helping actual people selling physical products. And I don't think it's as complex as actually helping, like now where I'm doing is like more info product, course creators, coaches, consultants, scaling their digital products. It's a lot more complex. You got to learn the funnels, right? And you got to learn all the different methodology of like building the brand to attract certain people to the course and the mastermind. So I think there's levels to it, but yeah, I think it's great for anyone getting started in the social media space. It was all about starting, hey, local businesses, let's get it going. And it is simple. I think it's simple to start getting leads for anyone. As long as you're pretty well known, you can learn a lot of good stuff for free on YouTube. But yeah, that's kind of like where I'm at in like the ladder. We still help some e-com brands, but I'm super passionate about helping like coaches and course creators.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, you know, just to close the Ty Lopez side. So you progressed in his organization, you saw the explosion of that program and all the subsequent programs. What was kind of your big takeaway from that?
You know, I think it's just pushing through the uncertainty, because even Ty was getting so much hate every single day. Like legit, I had guys, like we were signing in at the events, they're like, you know what? I used to hate Ty, But it took some time for me. And now I just humbled myself and said, there's something this guy's doing that I'm going to learn. And a lot of, like, more than like 50% of the people that come always said that. A lot of our customers that called in said, I used to hate him, but I bought his program because I don't know, like my mind got opened right to it. So what I learned is like just pushing past that uncertainty. And even now I'm running ads for just my own. I have an ad with literally me and Ty, and I just see all the haters in the comments.
Really? That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just part of the process.
So I feel like sometimes, like, you know, I learned a lot from programs like that, including that one around, mm-hmm. you know, how to structure ads and how to go out and find business in that category. And really, I think the takeaway is that the ads, if you're more controversial, sometimes more divisive, it's more effective because you circle your audience. I feel like that's kind of what he's done, like, really yes. effectively. I don't know what you think, but.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point right there. I think it gets to the point where like you'll see somebody ads over and over again. You know, it's going from like skeptic to like, okay, I'm actually open to seeing, because I keep seeing them over and over again. There is a human psychology around it where, like you said, you start to like circle around and it starts to penetrate. People are in different seasons of their lives. But then also the people that are hurt, you know, it's just because they've probably been hurt in the past from these type of things. And I do believe, just like in the world, there's always good and there's always bad. And my goal is like, hey, I want to work with you, but I want to know that you can actually get results. I think a lot of courses are actually undervalued, like undercharged. I think they're worth couples of thousands of dollars. It's just now what I think the course creating place, like as far as like the regulation that needs to happen, is like they need to not just market to everyone. They need to figure out a way to qualify their ideal client, because their client's not everybody. You know, and I think that is where, and then now it's like a war between like, oh, whose marketing's better? Oh, here's the cars Lamborghini. Oh, here's this. like everyone's just trying to one up each other now. And it's just a marketing war versus an actual, like what's actually inside of the product, the content. And we can get really deep into that, but that's where I'm at. That's why I stand on it. I know, like I said, a lot of people are hurt. A lot of people have actually, I'm always investing, you know, in courses and masterminds. Even last month was one of my biggest in the year I've invested in. I said, I'm always in the trenches as long as they're good people and their values are right and they get the results you're looking for.
So what I like about that, and I actually write about this in a new book that I'm writing. I think I mentioned to you, called Form Your Own Pack. And what I want is to help founders that want to build impactful ventures. But I directly address this because I think this whole course creation, self-education market is a really, really positive aspect, which is it's action oriented.
Yes.
It's like, do this to learn and make it happen and then iterate. So I don't know what your thought on it is, but to me, it's like, you can say what you want. There's information, but whether you're going to do it or not is really the differentiator.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as like, you know, information plus application equals the transformation. And I think, you know, I'm literally testing it. I have a course that's a few hundred bucks. I have a mastermind that's a couple thousand dollars. Right. And it's funny, the people that have more questions about the few hundred dollars than the couple thousand dollars. It's like they have more questions. There's more skepticism. It's like, just because it's so low. And I talk about this with my clients. It's like, just raise your prices. You know, you're worth it. You can bring it. And I think there's this thing where, like I said, qualifying, but also how much skin are you willing to put in the game? You're gonna take that thing seriously. A lot more seriously.
That's a good point. Yeah. So it's like what you're finding is the people that are willing to put more money and get the fact that it's not about the information, it's what they do with it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So what you're trying to do right now is, you mentioned a few things, like you're trying to work with course creators and consultants and try to help them. What sort of problems do you solve with them? And maybe what role does automation, and how are you trying to grow them?
Those
three parts in there, but.
yeah, for sure. So what we do is, I run a full service marketing agency, and that's like my bread and butter. A lot of the clients I got was because I met them through Ty Lopez's network. I joined a lot of different masterminds also, from like Tony Robbins, Les Brown back in the day. I did a lot of Eric Worre stuff, you know, part of the network marketing industry. So a lot of people that started businesses, and a lot of them now are like trying to be a coach, trying to be a course creator, consultant. And to answer the question, like the main problems is like, obviously it's a sales and marketing problem, right? Like 90% of your day, and I was just doing a training on this last night. It's like 90% of your day is like, your business needs to be focused on sales and marketing, but how do you do that? How are you doing that? You know, it gets to that point right now. And this is what I'm talking about as we're speaking. I know the next couple of years, I've been very obsessed with Facebook, right? I run some e-com brands as well on my own. And a lot of it, we wouldn't be getting sales if we didn't run ads. I mean, just as simple as it is, people can say, oh, ads are expensive, they're growing more and more and more. But if you're strategic and you're right, you'll get some pretty decent customers, and then also a lot of recurring if you have a good service or product, right? So what I talk about in what we do is, it used to be, because this is what marketers taught in the last decade, and a lot of people might hate me for sharing this, but that's what people are still teaching now is, and I don't, it's not that I don't believe in it, but they say, hey, go to an ad or get an ad, get them clicking on your link, you're into a landing page, and then have them opt in into a training, right? We see this time and time again. And I think that method, it's not like it doesn't work, but I think there's a better method. There's a new way of marketing. And that's what I've kind of established this year and these last few years after seeing where this industry is going. A lot of people say, do that automation, get them into the webinar. If they don't buy it by the end of your pitch at the webinar, then keep spamming them with emails and keep retargeting until they're like, all right, it's in.
Yeah, that's your traffic and conversion plan and remarking to them.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure you see that. Like,
yeah, totally.
You probably click on everybody's, you put in your marketing email, not even your main email.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Right? That's the funnel hack part, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just to see their whole process. Okay, what's their email like? How are they emailing me 7 days later? How's their follow-up? But there's a better way. And I think I really believe in Facebook groups right now. I'm a huge advocate. Last year, Mark Zuckerberg also talked about it, how like he's optimizing Facebook for Facebook groups. I mean, start to refresh your feed, you'll see Facebook groups pop up more than your own friends.
Totally.
Right.
And you're starting to see the private rooms, right? Which was another thing he talked about.
Yeah.
The big issues with Congress, I think it was somewhat of a reaction to that, which is, well, how are you going to lock this, make this private? It's like, well, we run ads and to make money, but we're going to move to this other model. And that's kind of what you're talking about, right? Which is, get your friends or people that are in a topic in a group and isolate it. It's almost like creating a little bubble of information for yourself, right? Like,
yes. I mean, and that's exactly where we're going right now. I mean, you create a community, because that's what Facebook's optimizing for, to connect the world through communities. And that's what Zuck saw, that people are on Facebook because they're tired of getting spammed by ads. They're tired of, no one ain't going to like your business or fan page and follow you because all you do is promote your business.
Right.
Like, but community is a two-way street. And I gave one of these things where, like, now even influencers, IG influencers, are going into Facebook, creating their own groups, because instead of them, the followers following them and look at me, it's my life, like, comment, they don't even see it. Come into my Facebook group. Let's interact. Let's talk more. Let's answer questions. Let's get on lives together. All right. And that is where the future of Facebook is going. You know, we could talk about all other platforms of growth, but now, and that's where that was the ads I was talking about. Now I have ads with me and Ty saying, hey, you want us to help you? And I give a lot of free value in my group. I have tons of resources, lots of stuff on organic to getting to paid side. And now they come into your group. Now you're nurturing a community and audience. Now they're not just clicking onto your link, your webinar. You wasted bucks because of that. And then you lost them forever. And they don't even check their email. People check Facebook more than, and scroll on their feed way more than an email. So this is the future of like communities. I know you talked about building all these different communities. You know, you were before this call, you were trying to figure out a way to get them together. I'm a huge advocate of Facebook groups. I mean, our Facebook group is making some pretty good money for less than 1,000 people.
Really? Wow. That's really interesting. Okay.
I'll invite you. I don't know if I invited you to my Facebook group.
I might be in it. I think I am in it maybe.
Okay. I'll see. We'll see. I'll send you an invite if anything, or I'll check it out. But there's Facebook groups that have like 10,000, 20,000. And they're barely scraping by to make like a $2,000 like fund when we're over here closing way high ticket deals for both my agency and my mastermind trainings.
Wow, really interesting.
Around it. But we don't post links. I don't have anyone post links. I don't post links. Everything gets done now in the DMs. And they come and they ask, well, hey, you're doing all this. Now, like, teach me how you're doing this. And now that's why I started this mastermind, teaching coaches, course creators, consultants on how to create a foundation from free traffic instead of just trying to pay traffic, you know, because you are about automation, and I want that too.
Yeah,
I'm at a point in my Facebook group where like my automation is now I get leads into my Facebook group. They go through this whole vetting process And then they see me live every single week, dropping bombs, nuggets. We do a soft CTA at the end. I'm giving you like my whole framework right now, but it's just.
Well, but I think, you know, it's tough to execute, right? So I think that's why people would come to someone like RC, which is he's got not just the formula, but the, you know, you can, he's a, you're a trusted resource where people can say, well, what do I do next? How do I do this? Mm-hmm. Because I think even for me, like, you know, we were talking about Founders Pack, which was going to be originally a live event that would turn into a, you know, a Facebook type group.
Yeah.
And that's probably just, you know, part of, I'm really good at throwing live events, I think, and getting them filled. And, but it's kind of in a sense, virgin territory for me on Facebook, even as far as a group, like growing a group and interacting. Yeah. So it sounds like you're definitely on the next wave. So what you're saying is even for like, what businesses can apply this methodology, do you think?
That's a great question. I think any business, if you're selling any type of service, you're building any type of community, you want to do mentorship, coaching. I think any service-based business, you're selling credit, you're selling like any type of consulting for real estate. You want to, I think whatever it is, as long as you're selling any type of service-based, you can utilize a Facebook group because people are going to look you up. My Facebook group is called Social Media Branding for Coaches and Course Creators. You want to learn branding, client attraction, building client acquisition systems. I could teach you Facebook and then we can start branching out into the other platforms, you know, but Facebook is such a great hub, Facebook groups. And you're not, and also you're saving so much money on your ads now because now you nurture an audience.
I mean, that's pretty compelling, right? Because I think, you know, the one thing about Facebook is it has a phenomenal set of tools that you can use to target and get attention. Oh, yeah. But the flip side to that, it can get really a little bit complex, right?
Yes.
Which is why you need someone to kind of usually manage that for you.
Right.
But what you're saying is that this other methodology doesn't even need that, that there's a way that you can build a kind of more organic community based upon targeting, or how are you finding people?
Yeah. So I built my Facebook group to 700 people organically. I mean, you've probably seen me in AHN a lot, and I'm in a lot of bigger groups where I'm a visual storyteller, and that talks about people that can spark up conversations. Facebook is now giving titles to people in Facebook groups because they want people to feel welcome, to feel like they have purpose, to do something, right? And now I'm in all these different groups. I find people, you know, I'm not here to push religion on people, but I'm a man of God, right? That's just my faith. And I'm in this group called Christian Entrepreneurs. I'm in another group where it talks about coaches and course creators. And what I do is I don't just put value posts. I come in, I welcome myself in, I shake people's hands. I go into the comments, I answer people's questions. Then they go back to my personal Facebook profile and they're like, oh my gosh, like, what does this guy do? You know, because your Facebook is actually your business card, your Facebook profile. I'm not talking about your fan page. I use my business page to run my chat bots because I need that in my ads. But your personal Facebook page is what's like people are looking at. And I've had people organically go through there, hit me up. I built it up in the last few months to 700 organic. And then I just started running ads recently.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's where the automation comes in because now we've been doing a consistent since February till today, a consistent five figures from my Facebook group a month organically. Wow.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right?
There's nothing, really, right?
Good, yeah.
through coaching programs, like I sell Amazon dropshipping, a low ticket course, and I just started a high end mastermind, which is allowing us to get to that. And also, we closed a big deal through my Facebook group because someone saw me from another Facebook group, said, "Hey, what do you do?" I say, instead of me saying, "Hey, let's hop on a call," I say, "Hey, join my Facebook group. I have a lot of resources in there." And then I'm nurturing them, and then they come back and reach out to me when the seed's kind of like nurtured, and they say, "Hey, do you offer this?" I say, "Hey, if you can't get my agency services, come into the mastermind. It's a little bit lower ticket and it's giving you a lot of plug and plays on how to build up. And hey, if you start to grow and get big, take my agency and then we'll take you to the next level."
Interesting. So I think, you know, a lot of what I do is business to business.
Yes.
Do you think that that would be effective in that space? Because like what I'm helping people with typically is they're buying some sort of software that's CRM, marketing automation, there's complexity to it.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure it out. Do you think it would be applicable to other markets or is it more like small, medium, or like what's your experience been so far?
100%. I mean, especially because you're in the startup phase, you talk about not developing your own software yet, but utilizing all these other different CRMs and softwares to help them grow.
Yep.
I think that'd be a great mastermind. I think you can create something that's more plug and play, because mine is all plug and play. I say, hey, this is how I grow, how I grew from the beginning as a coach course creator. I want you to make your first dollars online. You can use these methods, start selling masterminds around it, or get people to do partnerships with, and then help them a plug and play system of wherever they're at. And plug and play the softwares you have to offer, okay, for whatever their business is at. And here's the thing, people keyword search. Once you get to about 1,000 people in your Facebook, 800 to 1,000, you start to pop up on the side where they give you, Facebook suggests you as a group to other people. When you're in Facebook groups, you'll see it on the right side where it suggests you. When people start to look up your group, like let's say they look up like startups for entrepreneurs, like let's say that's your group called, startups for entrepreneurs, startups for business owners, and you'll pop up there.
Interesting.
And they're like, hey, this looks like a good group. So organically, I'm getting people through there, or I'm starting to now because we just hit over 800. I know there's some people come organically. There's people come through my Facebook profile and then now my ads. So you want to optimize your group. What I teach is like how to get the settings correctly, how to name it right, how to make sure you grow depending, because how you grow from zero to 200 is going to be different from 200 to 500, 500 to 1,000, and then you know, it's always different levels to it. But yes, I believe there's methodology as long as you have a good foundation and you're nurturing them and getting them to a different level. Because a lot of coaches or course creators, sometimes they don't even know who their audience is, right? So what we do in our mastermind is we kind of walk them through. I give them like some sheets to answer and really meditate on. I say, hey, sometimes when you're on these sales calls or you're on a week by week basis, you're looking at what people are asking in your niche, like the questions. This is you figuring out who your ideal client is. So you'll start to develop that client avatar over time.
That makes sense. And that way you can find them and then kind of scale that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like mine, it was very broad. It was like, mine was like on social media marketing for just like anybody, whether you're an e-com, digital course creator, local business. I was kind of like all over the place. And I was like, you know what? No, like we help coaches and course creators. Like I'm super passionate about that, teaching them the whole funnel process and getting them to get their clients ideally on this platform. So that's why I stuck to that niche.
So it sounds like though, you know, I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, there's a big following around ClickFunnels. There's all these software tools and it still gets really confusing, right?
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're kind of sidestepping the ad part to get them into a funnel. Mm-hmm. Are funnels still applicable to what you're doing?
Yes. Okay. At a more higher level. So there's a way to do it where, like, for example, like I told you, I don't send links in my group at all. So, but what I do is I qualify them. I have a few different landing pages where it's like, okay, watch this case study. Okay, you booked a call with us. Here is your homework to do before we get on the call. And those are all on, this is all a funnel. And then after that, obviously the checkout page and everything to get them through. I say it doesn't have to be this sophisticated for any startup coach. They can literally use PayPal or Stripe, just send them a manual invoice and have their courses with their hybrid coaching group model, have their courses on like a Google Drive or Dropbox. Like mine's all like on this platform. Everything's like, I want it to be the highest of what it is. But I teach people like, you don't need all this stuff. That's once you start to say, hey, I'm making consistent money every month with my coaches courses. Now I got to kind of step it up because it's all aesthetics. It's all aesthetics at the end of it.
So when you say aesthetics, like what you're saying is like, you know who you're selling to, and then you're trying to tell them what problem you solve for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And my biggest thing, the biggest problem is sales, marketing, and client acquisition systems. And that goes around client sales and marketing. And that's what we're kind of fixing. So I want people to come for me, not for everything else. I want them to come to me. It's like, hey, I have a trouble getting clients and building a community around that. So we come in and help them with their client acquisition system, which is legit just through Facebook groups.
Interesting. So yeah. So just to summarize, just the tool set is obviously you're using Facebook groups, Messenger to get people organically into an area where you can actually interact with them.
Yes.
And then you're still building technically landing pages with content on it, which to your point, if they're watching it, it's qualifying whether they fit into your program. And in this case, you're helping them with building the same system, right?
Yeah. And they can like, I literally tell the students, I'm like, hey, how you guys got qualified into here is what you should be building, but I'm going to be teaching you guys Facebook, your profile and your Facebook groups. Like that's what I'm teaching, but there's a whole nother, you know, level to, and that's where I was like, how should I go to, because, you know, you don't want to overwhelm people when they come into your stuff. Like, I don't want hundreds of videos, you know. how I do my mastermind is for the rest of this year. So I have like, it's either quarterly. Some people do 12 weeks. Some people do like 6 months. I did it for like 8-9 months, or people that are hopping on, they still get the next 7 months. Every week I go on a live call, answer questions, do live audits with the students, but then they get my core curriculum, which teaches them everything that I do to grow, scale, and monetize a Facebook profile and Facebook group.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think people are getting, you know, maybe older information, and they're still banging their heads against a model where they're trying to create ads and target people and have tiers of the ads. And it does get a little complex, right?
Oh, yeah.
Whereas you've figured out this other model and are helping people, which is no.
Police fired tear gas at a peaceful protest clearing space for the president to hold a photo opportunity.
What the fuck? What is going on?
This must be a fire interview for all this disruption coming.
I think this is Alexa.
My goddamn Alexa is literally deciding to read me the news. Like, I don't even listen to the news.
Oh my god.
What is this?
This is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2020.
That is fucking weird. That was like Big Brother shit. I'm ripping all these fucking things out of my house.
Like, dude, it started reading me propaganda.
Jesus.
It, like, I gotta go back and watch this video and randomly see what, like, did we say something that triggered it?
Yeah, right. I don't have an Alexa, so
yeah, they're all going out. I'm just like, that was really creepy. Okay, so second major interruption. Let's do some major editing on this. Yeah. This is the most edited episode ever. Aside from that one guy whose episode I will never air. Because he used it as like a social justice warrior platform. And I was like, oh, we're done.
Oh my God.
Like, explained to me as like referring to himself as a cis white male. And his obligation was, I was like, oh, buddy, your philosophy's wrong.
Oh no.
You know shit to anybody.
run the opposite way.
Yeah, I was like, I really debated because I went at him on a few things. It was kind of like in a subtle way, right?
Those are fun.
And then I was like, I'm never airing this. I'm not even going to give you the time of day on it. That's the only episode I've never aired intentionally. Really disappointing. Anyways, so now that we were so rudely interrupted by Alexa, all right, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, RC, so I want to be conscious of your time. So first of all, how do people get in touch with you?
I say I'm on all platforms. Like, you can YouTube me, RC Simon, just RC, two letters, and then Simon, S-I-M-O-N. Facebook, definitely.
Yeah, right.
Facebook and Instagram are like my main platforms. Yeah.
Okay, so first off, if you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, and you know what's funny is I stole this apparently from John Lee Dumas, and I found out when John Lee Dumas was on the episode.
What?
Because I asked him, he goes, oh, I asked that question. I'm like, what? I go, anyways. So if you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, RC, who do you spend the most time with?
Like what the type of people?
Yeah, or specific people. Like, you know, there's kind of that saying that, you know, your income level or your success level is a direct reflection of the people you hang out with.
Yeah.
So the idea is those the five people that you hang out with most influence you the most. So who are the people that you hang out with?
Yeah, you know, I've been half my day's ministry. So, you know, my first half of my morning is all business, marketing, online, get everything, you know, pretty much like taking what I can get in the morning, right? Just going out, casting my net out there in the morning and just seeing what can come in throughout the day and always having my hands open. So, but the other half is ministry.
Really? Okay.
We own a gift shop out here, one of the biggest Christian gift shops out here. Okay. And we have a church right next door. And so I'm always praying for people. You know, we're just we're doing, you know, we're just doing God's will. And I'm there almost every day. So I'm always with my pastors, a lot with my inner circle, people that are very spiritual. And then I could say the other half that I'm with is obviously my team that I, you know, I teach, and we kind of bounced each other ideas off. But that's another thing. I'm in quite a few different high ticket masterminds right now. So I have a call later this afternoon with them where they hop on us weekly. So I'm always just listening to people that are already where I want to be. And that's where I am. So spiritually, and then like on the business side, but also my family, you know, my pastor, businesswoman, you know, she's been doing real estate for over a decade. Our family does estate out here.
Okay.
So I help do some property management for them, like emergency runs. So we do a lot of real estate out in Las Vegas. So I've kind of come from like a business background. I feel like it's like, I started this podcast, never really went all out with it because I had so much. It's called Bible, Business, and Branding. The three B's.
So it's not Big Baller Brand.
yeah.
You're gonna run into the Big Baller Brand with that acronym.
Right? Yeah, you know, my foundation, and it's just saying my foundation is on the Word of God, my faith. And then I love doing business, but also I love helping businesses build businesses that last. And that's through branding. Branding just equals trust. And that's all it is. Like I say, if you can say branding in one word, it's trust. And that's why I'm all about building social media brands and helping personality brands, because those are the ones that are going to stand the test of time, and why people buy and how people are going to be attached to that. You know, a lot of people were attached to CEO of Apple, right? Or at that one point, Jobs, right? And his mission, yeah. His vision. And I truly believe that's why Apple took the range, and it kind of just branches down why we believe and why we buy what we buy too. So
interesting. Okay, great. So how are you, RC, changing the world?
My motto, my one-liner, just disclaimer, is changing the world by promoting talented coaches, innovative products, and positive movements.
I love it.
As long as it's, you know, you're talented, you know, you have some innovative service or product, very innovative, and if as long as it pushes a positive movement into the world, like we know, like McDonald's ain't making a pot, like they don't need to be in business, you know. So as long as you're like good, putting some good into the world, I'm willing to touch that brand. Like people hit me up for like CBD stuff, and I'm not against it. It's just not aligned with my values, you know. We can't market CBD on Facebook; we'll get banned.
Yeah,
depending how we do it, right? Like, yeah. But I'm not like I said. So it needs to be aligned with that one liner right there.
I love it. You even have a motto that works out really well.
Yeah.
Okay. So the final thing is, when we have interesting people on the podcast, we like you to invite other interesting people to be a guest. So who would you, RC, like to nominate as a future guest of the Automate and Grow podcast?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know what?
Interesting people. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Her name's Lynn. She's from Australia. I'll actually connect you guys right after this. Okay. She has her own podcast called, the Kind Boss podcast. And I was just on her podcast, and she runs a 7-figure VA agency out in Australia. Very, very generous woman. And she's definitely about automation. So I know this, and you guys would definitely be able to connect.
It sounds like, I feel like I'm in 1984 here. This is really weird. But that should be my new podcast question, which is, have you read 1984?
No, I haven't.
What? Really? That's really interesting.
I'm always open. I got a lot of books, obviously, that I'm reading, so.
That is the single most important book you might never have read.
Man, it's called by, okay, I'm gonna look it up right
George
now.
George Orwell.
I see it, yeah.
What's gross is you're gonna read it and your brain's gonna explode because you're like, oh no, we're living in this. Because it used to be a story that was, it was really kind of illustrating the evils of collectivism, totalitarian societies, communism.
Wow.
And the stuff that's in there once was imaginary and people thought was ridiculous, even from a technological point of view, because he wrote this like I think in the 40s or 50s.
Jeez.
When was 1984 written? So when he wrote the book 1984, which was imagining it was 1949.
Wow.
So when you, yeah, that's really interesting. I think from now on, I'm going to ask people if they've read that. Because it's almost like we have a generation of people that have not read that. And I remember when I was in school, that was like mandatory reading.
Really?
Well, we're in a Western society that's
based
on democracy, and we have a free market economy. And it's like, well, this is what the world needs to protect against. This is the most evil system in the world.
Wow. Yeah. I just added it to my cart.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer. I feel like I need to buy a bunch of them and give them to guests. I feel like the older guests would have read it, but yeah. You know, when I have people that are probably, I don't know. I wonder if under 35, nobody's read it.
Right. I definitely have. I'm in my later 20s. I'm 27, so.
That's really interesting. Okay, so RC, you need to read 1984, and we need to like get feedback on this. Maybe you can come back on. We can talk without Alexa interrupting.
Yeah, without all this extra stuff.
Because you're gonna understand after reading it, you're gonna be like, why this is maybe something we need to get rid of.
I love reading books like this because I've been into like politics and government, not going into that side, but I need sure. to understand it. I'm just trying to understand it, you know.
It's so, a mess.
Yeah.
Being in a because we're descending into what's in that book, which is bizarre. We would have, if you go back before you were born, like 30 years ago, we never would have imagined this.
Right.
It's just been one crazy, weird thing after another, but.
Wow.
All right. Well, we're on a mission now to get everybody to read 1984, maybe. And then if you get really ambitious at some point, when you start going down that thread, there's a really, really thick book called the Gulag Archipelago.
It sounds familiar.
Well, it's basically the book that brought down the Iron Curtain.
Oh. It
exposed all of the Gulag, the legacy of the Gulags in Soviet Russia.
Wow.
Which is, if you said the wrong thing, RC, then your neighbors are turning you in and you're going to prison. And that's not even, it's the reality of what happened. So when the guy that wrote it, is it Shost? I can't pronounce his last name, but he wrote it and it was pub excerpts because he was in the Gulags. He was a writer and an artist.
Wow. And
people turned him in that system, right? Which is people ratting on each other. So it's citizens spying on citizens. This was the reality of the Soviet Union. And he wrote the Gulag Archipelago, which is this thick. And they started publishing it, I think, in the London Times, maybe. And that got out to the world and exposed what was going on in these prisons. And there were prison work camps behind the Soviet Union. And that's really a big book that brought down the Iron Curtain. So it's like a really important historical lesson because there's, you know, things in there that we're doing are being directed to do. It's weird, you know?
Yeah. Prophecies in my book.
Oh, it's sort of, except it's like history.
going
you know, like it's not that long ago. It's like 30-40 years.
Wow.
So crazy. Anyways, all right, listen, RC, I really appreciate you being a guest today. Hopefully we've all learned so many things. I know I have.
Yeah. And
come back anytime, we'll have an uninterrupted podcast, but I think this will make for a good one anyway. All right, this has been a really disjointed episode of the Automate and Grow podcast with lots of really informative things. And
amen.
See you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.